in every flesh and blood is all I have to bring. I lay down my life as an offering.
Take the
Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Great to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're hearing so many great reports about what God is doing, our outreaches this afternoon. This morning, one baptized in Lake Mendota, I think they said. And really doesn't make any difference whether it's a church baptismal tank, whether it's Lake Monona or Lake Mendota, as long as they go all the way under in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. We're very thankful to report that we have had 122 this year come into the kingdom of God. Can you lift your hands and praise the Lord for that? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Lord, for it. We have with us Brother and Sister Brian. They were here this morning. Now, we have really worked, Brother and Sister Brian. This will be the fifth service that they have been in here at Calvary Gospel Church. Monday night, Revival Ridge. And then, I'm not for sure what night it was, they were with his ambassadors. Today, with us this afternoon. They were in the AIM program, or the AIM service, and then back here tonight. So we have really, really used them. Brother and Sister Brian have been missionaries for 20 years. We really thank the Lord for that. They've been in Haiti for 12 years. Haiti is a very, very productive mission field. They have over 60,000 people there baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can you say thank the Lord for that? They have 567 churches. You may say, why missionary? Well, the more churches you have, the more need there is for missionaries. Also, this past year, they had 16,704 people in Haiti baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we will be taking a special offering for them like we did this morning. They do have some special needs. They are trying to purchase land, $44,800. They have their headquarters complex needs to be renovated, $22,400. Building funds, they need $107,520. Bible school construction, $44,800. Office equipment, $11,200. Bible school, computers, lab, $5,600. They need $22,400 for evangelism. And then they mentioned this morning a support for a children's fund. They've got so many children that are homeless and so many orphans, and they just have an unlimited number of children that need help. So we'll be taking an offering, but we would also like to be able to sponsor them. We do not sponsor them in our AIM program. So we want, when they leave tonight, we want to make sure that we are able to sign a pledge card stating that we will support them on a monthly basis. So if God has spoken to your heart about supporting them, please take and denote that by, when we take the offering, putting it on a piece of paper in the offering plate. And I'm sure they would be much appreciated. They've got quite a ways to go yet with their deputational work, but like all missionaries that I meet, they all say, we just want to get back to our field of labor. We feel that's what we need to do. So we're just so happy to have Brother and Sister Brian with us, and we'd like for Brother Brian to come at this time and take the remaining part of the service.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, tell me we don't serve an awesome God. Amen. A God who loves me and cares for me. He went to Calvary and he reached down out of the into the miry pit. He set my feet up on a rock to stay. There's a reason that we shout. I said there's a reason that we shout. They tell me that when you're in a war zone, when those big planes fly over the B-52s and they begin to drop the bombs, there are some people that are afraid. But those that are being liberated, they enjoy the sound of freedom. Let me tell you, when we dance, it's strictly just the sound of freedom. I said when I dance and when I shout, it's because God has set me free. And he who the Son has set free, he's free indeed. Let's put our hands together for him. I believe before we leave here, God's going to set somebody free. Amen? If you've been held captive, you've been there long enough, let God take over. I said let God take over. And you may be seated if you would like. Amen. Would like to thank Bishop Grant and Pastor Grant for allowing us to come. There's so many to thank tonight. Our foreign missions director, God bless her, Aussie, man. They put together an awesome schedule for us. What can I say to the Browns? Y'all are just fantastic. I can truly say now that we have been through the storms of life together. We've been through 2 tornadoes in 1 week with the Browns. We have been through the storms of life. And thank you for allowing us, and to the pastors that have put up with us this week, Brother Lairdson, Brother O'Neill, our African pastor, thank you. Had a great service with them and all the others. May God bless you. Truly, we have enjoyed our week in a great state. Amen? Welcome to the best church in town. Welcome to the best church around. Man. You know, there's times in our life that things are going crazy. And you know, there's just some days that things just don't click. You try and it seems like, and you wonder, God, why isn't everything going just like it should? I had one such day a couple years back, and things just, there's block after block, and we was getting ready to take a group of Haitian pastors to the Dominican Republic. They're close, so I can do that. And I had our national representative in the front seat. He was in the car with us. But we was driving down the road trying to get the other pastors, and it just wasn't working. I was coming up the road, and this man stepped out into the road. And personally, I think it was an angel. I don't know, but he really wasn't that good looking of an angel. But this guy stepped out in the road, and he stopped me. And he said, I tell you what, you cannot go any further, you and your wife and the car. And he said, but, of course, we're talking in Creole. And he said, but the your Haitian pastor has to get out and walk. And you have to stay here with me. And that's not a good thing in Haiti, by the way. And but I felt calm about it. And I told the pastor, get out, walk up, do your business, and come back. And then we'll go out to our headquarters complex. That guy detained me for about 45 minutes. During that same time, I did not know, but at our headquarters complex, there was 5 guys that came over the back wall, and they held our security yard guy at gunpoint, and they had come to kidnap me and my wife. If that guy had not detained us, if things had gone the way that Ron Bryan wanted, they would have kidnapped. But God knew. I said, God knew. I said, God knew. And God knows tonight where you are. He knows what the struggles of life that you're going through. And one more time, God knows. God knew where I was going to be, and God worked it out, and a miracle was done that day simply because God knows a whole lot more than Ron Bryan. And God knows a whole lot more than you. We need to turn our life over to God and let God take control of these things that's bothering us tonight and let God do something awesome. Amen. He has been so good to us, His protecting hand. The miracles after the earthquake. And tonight I want to take just a moment to say, God, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your blessings upon Haiti, oh God. I know it's only because of God. Everything I am belongs to Him. Without God, we're nothing but a glorified mud ball. Without Him, we're not even glorified. We're just a mud ball. He's the one who makes a difference in my life. Amen. I'm so glad to have my wife, and I would like for my beautiful wife that puts up with me. Can you imagine being married to a guy like me? Wow.
Praise the Lord. There is a very simple chorus. The words are very simple, but I think the meaning of the song is very profound. It says, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that brought us through. As high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Aren't you thankful for His love? I don't know about you, but I am thankful for His love because I was not... Statistically, I'm not supposed to be here in this church tonight. I'm not supposed to be a missionary's wife to the country of Haiti. I'm not supposed to be enjoying the blessings of life like I have. Because my father was an alcoholic. My mother was unfaithful. There was all kinds of things in my home growing up. But Jesus loved me. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. I'm so thankful for his changing love. I'm thankful for everything he's done for me. And I think it's because of my background that makes me even more zealous to just share his love everywhere I go. Because I know that there are people that are crying themselves to sleep at night, not knowing and not believing that somebody loves them. And I want to make sure that I show his love everywhere I go. See, I told you this morning, sometimes I get a little preachy. And it's just about now that my husband starts clearing his throat. It is so, so very good to be with you. One more thank you that I want to give tonight, because Sister Grant was not in service this morning. And I want to say thank you, and a special thank you for telling us about the botanical gardens. What a beautiful, beautiful walk it was. I have thoroughly enjoyed your town and your just your state in general. We even went all the way over to Milwaukee and walked on the lakefront. It's just beautiful up here, except you're cold. I don't know if you know that, but you're cold. Still in June, you're cold. But I have enjoyed meeting everyone that we have. Brother and Sister Brown, thank you so much for opening your home, and your hospitality has been amazing, and I will take home some very special memories, and I appreciate that. And just, I won't belabor the whole table thing. Just drop by and visit with me. If you want to give towards a project, it would be greatly appreciated. One thing my husband reminded me that I did not say this morning, and that is you can buy blocks to build. If you give $5, you get the block. That's the minimum. But if you give $25 or more towards our building project, you get a coffee cup like your pastor's wives got. So if you would like one of those, please see me after service, and I will try to do my best to make you happy. God bless you.
Truly, God has been so good. This week while we have been here, it has been a special week for us, not only to be here, but in the country of Haiti for the first time. We have had a work group there without me putting a roof on. This term is the first time that Haiti has been able to have their Bible college continue without the missionary. And so I give God thanks for the great men that he has put in our life at the Bible school to be able to continue. And my job is actually to work myself out of a job. I know that sounds crazy, but that's my job. And truly, I give the Lord thanks for his many blessings that he has given to us. At this time, we're going to try to show you a little bit. It's a different one than this morning. It might have a little bit different thing.
On January 12, 2010, a 7.3 earthquake shook the nation of Haiti. In 40 seconds, the lives of an entire nation were devastated. The people were in shock. An estimated 298,000 people lost their lives. Many of our pastors lost their homes. 1.5 million people were displaced and living in tents. Desperation, shock, and despair were evident on everyone's face.
Following the earthquake, we were overwhelmed as we dealt with the aftermath of the destruction. In prayer, God gave my husband a word of comfort. He impressed to us that if we worked during the daylight hours, he would give us strength for the task ahead. The next 12 months were filled with a time of healing, comfort, and compassion. The demonstration of love and support from the North American Church helped to heal the hearts of the Haitian people.
On the one-year anniversary of the earthquake, we reopened the International Bible Institute of the Caribbean with an enrollment of 27 students. God has truly blessed the United Pentecostal Church of Haiti with growth and revival. Our current enrollment is 63 students. Training young ministers is the core of our ministry as a missionary.
The United Pentecostal Church of Haiti has a unique opportunity to reach their youth. Because there are very few public schools, churches are encouraged by the government to educate their children. Education is a vital part of the ministry of the church. The majority of the United Pentecostal Church of Haiti's 500-plus churches have schools. These schools not only teach basic curriculum, but also teach biblical principles. We have established a child sponsorship program to help alleviate the expenses and make a Bible-based education possible for thousands of children that would otherwise not be able to attend school. Please ask us how you can make a difference in a child's life through education. After the earthquake, we wanted to give the children in our community a safe and fun place to play. We built a playground on the headquarters complex and began to open it up for the children to come play every afternoon. This ministry has grown, and on any given day, we host 50 to 75 kids. We affectionately call this our Haiti Kids. It is a place where the kids can run, slide, ride bikes, and play soccer. But most importantly, it is a place they can feel safe and loved. Our kids' ministry led to a more active involvement in the community. A visit to an orphanage that was literally a stone's throw away from the headquarters complex where a little boy had starved to death brought James 1:27 to life for us. In the past 3 years, we have purposed to live out pure religion for Haiti. We're no longer content with just revival and church statistics. We are ministering daily to the fatherless and widows. Up to now, we have been filling the gap in the lives of over 400 orphans and children. But our dream and vision for these children is much greater.
Million souls call Haiti home. Haiti is a beautiful nation, rich in culture. God has poured out His Spirit with tremendous revival. Following the earthquake, there was a time of great awakening. Thousands were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The United Pentecostal Church of Haiti continues to experience growth and revival.
past summer in Haiti, and I can say without a doubt it was the most life-altering summer I'd ever had. The kids in Haiti absolutely stole my heart, whether it be an orphanage kid or one of the neighborhood kids that the Bryans love in their yard every day. The kids are the sweetest and most loving kids around. They truly blessed my life and made me want to be a better person. Haiti and the Bryans have changed my life, and for that I am forever grateful.
It doesn't matter who you are, young or old, whatever your ministry, we would love to have you. Plan a trip to experience Haiti. It is truly a life-changing experience.
The last 20 years have truly been an awesome experience. Living our dreams, realizing our vision, impacting our world. It is all made possible through the faithful support of Christians, pastors, and churches of North America. Supporting global missions through She's for Christ, Mother's Memorial, and Partners in Missions is a vital part of reaching the whole world with the whole gospel. Thank you for your support.
Praise God. We'd like for the ushers to come at this time. Remember the special projects that they're in need of. If you can in any way assist in giving any amount of money toward any of these projects, it would really be appreciated. Of course, the need is so great. The need is so great. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing Brother and Sister Bryan to come by to share their burden for their country, Lord. I do pray, God, your blessings upon their ministry. Continue to be with them as they travel throughout the states. But God, as they have come to be by our side for a few services, I pray, God, that you'd touch our hearts, that we would respond to the need that they have. Speak to us, O God. We want to give liberally. We want to give from our heart, God. Everything we have belongs to you, God. Everything. We gave it all up when we gave our heart to you. And I pray, God, you'd speak to us concerning a monthly support. We want to do that. Special projects, God, and then a special offering for them as they travel. I ask of you, God, bless the remaining part of this service. And do bless the Bryans as they travel back and forth throughout the states raising funds for Haiti. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give tonight, okay?
Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Thank you.
wonder if we could stand and lift our hands as we sing it. Would we sing, continue singing it? Your Spirit. Would you let it be your prayer as we sing it again? Let's usher in God's anointing today. Of the Lord coming down in this place right now. Let's just wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time, continue to sing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you lift your hands across the auditorium? Lord, I surrender myself to you. God, mold me and make me what you want me to be tonight, oh God. Myself. Here I am. Oh, yes. God, in your name, in your name. Lord, we give you thanks. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. One of the prayers that I pray is, Lord, mold me and make me what you want me to be. I want my life to be pliable in his hand. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I told the African church as I was getting ready to preach today, I told them that I won't be holding them long. And normally when you say that, everyone says, uh-oh, preacher done went and lied. And normally when they say they're short, they don't do that, but we'll try to honor that. Mark chapter 17, or Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? More than your all. Shake somebody's hand next to you. Tell them how good they look. Tell them you're glad to see them. You look beautiful, babe. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. More than your all. There are times in life that things happen, and when they happen so quick that we really don't realize the significance of them until time has already gone by, and we look back later as it is in history, and we realize the importance of it. Let me give you a for instance. We can go and we can look at the Gettysburg Address. Before our president got up to give his speech, known as the Gettysburg Address, which we could most everybody quote, there was a senator that got up and was giving his speech. And he gave it and he went on and 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 on. He went on for a long time, and when he was finished, how many of y'all know his name tonight? Exactly. No one remembers him. But President Lincoln got up and gave the Gettysburg Address, and most of us can, if not quote the entire thing, can at least give the first part. 67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth. You get to where I'm going. It happened so quick, and it was over, but yet it changed history as we knew it. So it is with this story. Jesus had been in town, and the Bible says he went and he's walking down the road. And as he was walking down the road, the Bible says that there was a young man that came up to the Lord and knelt down in front of the Lord. And he said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord looked back at him and gave him what we know as part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know, love your mom and dad. Those kind of things. I was driving down the road one day, and there was a big billboard in Dallas, and it was black, and all it had was white letters, very plain and very simple. But it said, "Thou shalt not lie." Underneath of it, in smaller letters, it said, "And I really meant that, signed God." I think there's things in the Bible that God really meant. And I'm not going to preach on that. I'll let your pastor finish that one next Wednesday night. But he was kneeling there in front of the Lord. And he said, "Lord, what must I do?" And the Lord told him. I wonder what would have happened that day if that young man, after the Lord got through talking to him, had gotten up and just began to praise the Lord. "Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven." Or went home to his family and said, "Family, guess what? I met the Master today, and he told me what we're doing. It's going to be all right." But that's not what he did at all. The Lord turned. He turned to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, all of these things I've done ever since I was a kid. Could I put this in Ron 1:1 for you?" That's my name, Ron, okay? "Let me put this in Ron 1:1. This is all I've ever known. I grew up apostolic. My father was my pastor growing up. I was the honorary PK." We love it, don't we? "I was the honorary PK. All I know is being apostolic. I grew up sleeping under church pews, sleeping on top of them, playing in the nursery during altar call. Yep. That was me. This is all I've ever known. And I thank God for it. I love being apostolic. Young people, there's nothing better than this life. You don't have to look anywhere. You found it. You found it." I've never smoked. I've never drank. I've never been high. Go figure. Uh-oh. Pastor, I think I just lied. One time when I was in high school, I went to the dentist, and he gave me some gas. Some of y'all went to my dentist. I don't know if that's being high, but it was really weird, okay? So if that's being high, forgive me, I lied, and I won't do it again, okay? This is all I've ever known. Let me tell you, let me stop just a minute. If you're here and you're on drugs and alcohol, where has it gotten you? It ain't done nothing for you, and that's good English. For those of you who didn't know, I just said ain't. It's not done anything for you. It's when we give our life to God and live for Him. That's the life I'm talking about. Your life's done nothing for you. It's time to try my God. Your God's left you homeless. Your God's left you with no family. But my God comes and He says, "Hey, give me a try. I love being apostolic. I love this life. It's the best life ever. Surely, just being raised apostolic means I'm saved. Surely just being raised in an apostolic church means I'm going to heaven. No. Surely going to Bible school, surely that makes one more extra mark somewhere. Being a missionary. No." He turned to the Lord and said, "All of these things I've done ever since I was a kid." And the Lord turned to him and said, "I tell you what. You just told me that you gave your all." And the Lord said, "You just thought you did. get rid of everything and come and follow me. I think what the Lord was trying to tell him is, hey, why don't you put yourself on the altar? And when we put ourselves on the altar, when we put ourselves in the hands of an almighty God, God can do something awesome. But it's not until we go to the altar and we go to Calvary that he can mold me and make me what he wants me to be. We can try everything else. But he says, when you just thought that you've done all of this since you was a kid, it wasn't good enough. Give your all to me and come and follow me. I can't follow him until I go to Calvary. I cannot go to him until I give him my all and let him change my life and make me a new creature. All of these things, he'd done all his life. But now the Lord says, I tell you what, why don't you give your life to me and let me mold you and make you that vessel? The church in Haiti, I don't know how God has blessed me to be a part of it. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined that I could go and have a crusade and 5,000 and 6,000 people just come stand on the grass. I'm just standing there preaching. And God comes and devils are being cast out of little girls. 9-year-old little girl 3 months ago, God delivered. Her family was in voodoo and she came and God totally delivered her. At the end of the night, she come crawling up in our car, putting her arms around us and saying, thank you for coming. In my wildest dreams, I never dreamed it. After the earthquake, we got there and we was working day and night, doing what missionaries are supposed to do, I guess. Rebuilding churches, after all, that's what I'm paid for. And I'll be honest with you, okay? I got a little arrogant. I was kind of like this young man that knelt before God. Can we all handle a missionary being real with you tonight? I got a little bit arrogant. UPC, you're lucky to have a guy like me. I did construction before ministry, and I can build, work on vehicles in high school, keep the generators going. Surely, headquarters, I mean, you're lucky. Surely, God. And we was building new churches after new churches, and it seemed like everything was going good. The Bible school opened back up 1 year on the 1 year anniversary. Record number 27 men that was coming to be ministers and training, and we thought, okay, this is it. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. I thought I was giving him my all. One night I was coming home. Been out building a church all day long, and Bishop, I was just tired. I can make all the excuses I want, but I was just tired, and I pulled into our driveway, the road that makes a bend, and made the second bend, and there was a group of people in the road right by our gate, and Ron Bryan was just tired, and I went around them. I didn't stop, but I could tell as I drove around them something was wrong. I drove into our gate and I told the man that works for us there, I said, go down and find out the problem. And he came back in a little while and he told me, he said, Pastor, you know that 2 doors down from you, there's an orphanage. I told him I knew about it, but I hadn't taken time to go down there. After all, I was too busy building churches, doing the things of God, you know. And he said, there was a little boy that died there today. I went down there and that little boy had starved to death 2 doors down from me. I ran down there. I didn't believe it, Pastor. I ran down there and I looked around in the picture that you saw, the little boy. I took that picture that day and I began to look around and those sweet little kids, their hair was no longer black, but it was turning red because of malnutrition, because of parasites in their system. I ran home and I got my wife, and because of all the medical clinics that we had, we parasited them and everything else we could do. And the end of the story is that's how we got our feeding program going, and we hired cooks and we took care of it all. But that night I got home and this was still playing on my mind. Ron, how did you do this? When I got home, I opened up my Bible school books to begin studying for my lesson on Saturday. And when I opened it up, I was going to be starting the book of James. It was James, the key verse that headquarters gives for the book of James is James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father is this. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You see, I wish that James had said, for me to be a true Christian, all I had to do was come to church. Because I had that one mastered. I'd been doing that one my whole life. I wish that James had written, all I had to do was to go through the motions because I had it mastered. But somewhere along the line, I forgot to go back to Calvary. And I forgot humanity, and I forgot to go back to and put myself on the altar. And I said, God, forgive me. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. I want to do the things that you want me to do, God. And God began to do something in our life. We began to reach out to those that are just hurting. I don't think that James is just talking about the fatherless and the widows. But I think James is talking about somebody down at Walmart. I think James is talking about somebody that's shopping at Dollar General store that's going through a problem, and we've got the answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you're here today and your life is hurting, if you've tried the drugs and the alcohol, give it up. Come to Jesus. Let God make something of your life. Let me tell you what happened. When I changed my priorities and got them in line with what Ron Bryan needed to do according to the Word, God began to bless. When I got my priorities in line with Him, the Bible school that opened up with 27 we was happy with, tonight there's 63 young men training to be ministers of the gospel. Let me tell you what happened. Ron Bryan got his priorities in line with him. If you're here tonight, put your priorities in line with God. Forget what your neighbor's telling you to do or your friends are telling you to do. It's time to go back to Calvary. And let God mold me and make me what He wants me to be. I know there's people here and you're hurting. The world isn't like it used to be. I told you I grew up in a pastor's home. Growing up, my father, I've never once heard my mom and dad argue. I'm not sure my kids can say the same. In our home, arguing was not allowed. Get along with each other. The thing you're supposed to do, you know. In my home growing up, every night, Mom would come home. We would come home from school. Mom would have dinner ready, Pastor. Dad would come home at 5 o'clock. You could set your watch by Daddy. He'd come in. Mom would open up the back door, the front door, and holler out, kids, dinner's ready. And we would come inside the house, and we would sit around this thing that we called the dinner table, and we would have dinner as a family. Let me tell you, church, that just doesn't happen anymore. We live in a world that's hurting. Maybe there's things going on in your family, in your home, that it's got your family so torn apart, you don't know which way to go. Let me tell you, you've got to get your priorities in line with Calvary. You've got to get your priorities in line with God. We've got to go back one more time and say, God, make me a Christian. Make me what you want me to be. And I promise you tonight, when you do that, God's going to transform your life. You don't have to worry about the problems and difficulties. Turn your family over to God. Put your life in His hands. Put your priorities in line with Him. And when we do that, God comes in and He does something totally remarkable. If you're here tonight, maybe you've tried the drugs and alcohol. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Give it to God. Give it to God. Is your family going through a crisis? Oh my goodness. The devil's after our families. After my children. Turn it over to God. Let God do something awesome in your life. Let Him mold you and make you an instrument that you can follow Him. Stop following the things of this world. Let's follow Him. Would you stand? Would you lift your hands? Create an atmosphere where lives can be changed. If you have the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Spirit. God, mold me. Make me a vessel, oh God. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're here tonight. If you've got the difficulties in your life, why don't you come stand over here? If you want God to deliver you tonight, why don't you come stand over here? If you need healing for your body, I invite you to come. If you just need a spiritual touch tonight, maybe you're just like Ron Bryan. Things just got a little cloudy. Doing good things, but things just got out of whack. Won't you come? Thank you. Tonight, if you need delivered from drugs or alcohol, if your family's a wreck, you need to be up here. Oh, come on, church. Let's lift our hands. Beautiful. I invite everybody, please come. If you're part of the church, please come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I promise you we will not embarrass anybody. If you need a touch in your marriage, you need to be up here. Your marriage can't handle another day. You need to be up here. Your family needs a miracle tonight. Would you come up and let God do something? Would you please come?
Every breath that I take.
You've tried it all. Why don't you try Jesus tonight? Try Jesus tonight. Try Him.